Welcome back to Lay of the Land. We're chatting with my guest this evening, Jerry Abs. I wanted to make one point, Jerry, relating to something you just talked about a minute ago when you talked about the corn binder. I live in Mazamani, Wisconsin, and we have a big plaque on our one of the main streets, into a historic plaque. And that historic plaque pays tribute to Appleby, who was the inventor of the knotter. And the knotter is what made it possible for that corn binder to bind those bundles into bundles. They tied them with twine, binder twine is what we called it. And that same knotter that Appleby invented way back in the early 19th century is the same knotter that when I talked about the big balers out there with a 700-pound bales, it's the same knotter, that same concept. So there are certain good ideas that have come all the way from way back that are right up there to the present. You were going to say something, Jerry.
Yeah, I wanted to add a little tidbit, a little bit about the silo filling story, because it's very important. Many people today don't realize that the silage that is in the silo, for example, is not just there. It ferments. It's a fermenting process, and as it ferments, it gives off silo gas. It's called. And it's dangerous. Us all get out. If you were to go into a silo shortly after it was filled and it had settled without first running the silo filler again to bring in fresh air, you might die. It's a dangerous proposition. And I can't underline enough. Farming was and is a dangerous proposition. And some of these things we just have to pay attention to. And almost every year, years ago, you would hear somebody who was sick or had died because they had gone into a silo before fresh air was brought in. So I wanted to add that to make sure it wasn't all fun and games. It was a dangerous proposition unless you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to use this illustration here of how harvesting was done with the silage of the past as a way to transition over to our conversation of contemporary agriculture, because today we're continuing to chop the corn stalks, just like I talked about before. But, of course, now the chopping is done actually in the field. We don't bring the corn in to run through the silo filler to do the chopping at the farm. We chop in the field and bring the chopped corn to the farm site. And now, of course, it's stored in either big bunkers, big concrete bunkers, or more often now, it's put in bags. And when our listeners drive by a farm and they see all these big, long plastic tubes, they look like big, long bags, what's inside there is chopped hay or chopped corn. And the silos standing there on the farm are often standing empty. And you say, what's going on? Spent all that money on those silos, and they're standing empty. Well, that's true. That is exactly what's happened.
And an interesting little aside is Wisconsin, for many, many years, and I think it's probably still true, had more silos than any other state in the nation.
That's really interesting statistic.
A little aside.
Yeah, interesting aside. And the reason why this silage is stored in these tubes now is because of feeding large quantities of animals quickly and also with minimum labor. And so what is happening on these large feeding operations is that they are going into those tubes with a end loader of some kind and digging into the tube and getting that silage out and putting it in some kind of a vehicle that disperses it to the cattle in their in the big long barns. They just drive through and distribute it in their feeding area in front of the animals, and they can feed hundreds of animals, you know, in a relatively short period of time using that kind of technology. So it's speed and volume of feeding operation that's driven us now to not use the silos anymore, but to use these feeding
far,
bags.
Far less human labor. Yep. Far less. Filling silo, as I described it, was a lot of work. In fact, almost everything on the farm was a lot of work when I was physical work when I was a kid.
Exactly. So, as a transition, as we transition from past technology to a more contemporary technology on simply harvesting corn, let's start talking about how the present form of agriculture is can contrast with these earlier forms that we have been talking mostly about. What do you see, Jerry, as the contrast between?
Sure, I can interrupt me because to do whatever you need to do. But let me just start out by saying, and I did a little digging, and I've, by the way, for those of you who want to know more about what I'm talking about, you can. You can go to my website, which is jerryapps.com, all one word, JerryApps.com, or you can check out my book called Wisconsin Agriculture, A History, where I describe all of this. So let me share this. This thing was new to me, too, these numbers. But in 1840, when Wisconsin first began being settled, we had 70% of our population lived on a farm. Can you believe that? In 1840, the early settlers in Wisconsin, by and large, 7 out of 10 were farmers. By 1930, and I was born in the mid-30s, it had dwindled to 25%. 25% of the people in the country lived on the land as farmers, 1930. Now, in 2021, this year, can you believe this? Less than 2%, in fact, less than 1.5% of the population lives on a farm. So one of the big, big changes in agriculture from the 30s when I was a kid, Nate was a kid, is there are fewer of us, fewer farmers by many, many times.
We're going away, Jerry. Yeah, thank you for making that point. We got to go away again for a minute or two, and we'll be right back with Lay of the Land and Jerry Apps.